only heroic Catholics, only Eucharistic Catholics will survive this, the most critical century of Christian history. What am I saying? I'm saying for the church that Jesus not only lived, past tense, not only lived on earth 1900 years ago. No, Jesus is living on earth today. Behind that present tense, is living on earth today, is all the implications for following Christ and the beginning of a Christ-like life for those, I repeat, who not only believe in the Eucharist, but understand what the Eucharist is and have Jesus Christ, what shall I say, at their constant daily disposal. This present tense is what our faith reveals to us. And by God's grace, we are enabled to make it our own. Hear it. God never just tells us anything. He never wastes his revelation. He always makes sure there was a corresponding grace to put that revelation into practice. In other words, as we are reflecting on the sacraments, here on the Holy Eucharist, we are not only to believe in the real presence, not only believe in the Blessed Sacrament, not only believe in the real presence, we are to live the Holy Eucharist. So he asks, what does it mean that Jesus is living on earth today in the Eucharist? It means many things. For our present purpose, Jesus Christ is here today because he wants to be here to teach us the virtues he is practicing. Note the verb, present tense, the virtues he is practicing. The virtues he is practicing in the Eucharist are the virtues he wants us to duplicate in our lives. And here we could begin not just another conference, not just another series on the Holy Eucharist. For many Catholics, it can mean beginning their Catholic lives and living these lives as they've never lived them before. We will choose certain virtues that Jesus Christ is practicing now on earth. First, Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is practicing humility to the highest degree. While on earth, in visible form, Christ veiled his divinity, but manifested for everyone to see his humanity. So too was this, that many saw only Jesus the man, and could not, because they would not, see Jesus who is God. But in the Eucharist, hear it, Jesus hides not only his divinity, he also hides his humanity. And this, mind you, is the glorious humanity that was transfigured on Tabor and is now resplendent in heaven and is the object of awesome adoration by the angels and all the saints. talk about God practicing humility. Surely, surely, the incarnation, as we believe, was the humiliation of God. Well, the real presence has humiliation twice over, hiding not only his divinity, but also his humanity, to teach us, dear Jesus, how desperately we need to be taught humility. The humility of being willing to be hidden, willing not to be recognized, willing not to be acknowledged, willing not to be praised, willing not to be honored. How our proud human hearts seek recognition, and mystery of human iniquity, we not only seek recognition for what we are and what we have, but sadly, we sometimes even stupidly make believe that we are and have what we are not and do not have. Humility is many things, but surely, humility is the willingness not to be recognized. Then surely Jesus in the Eucharist is humble in the most extreme way that even God could devise. That superlative is not coincidental. The Eucharist is Jesus practicing humility in the most extreme way that even the all-wise God could, dare I say it, invent. The Eucharist looks like bread, looks like wine, but is neither. It is the Son of God in human form. Dear Lord, what a rebuke to our masked civilization. In the Holy Eucharist, Jesus is practicing sacrifice. He surrenders himself to the conditions of place and space and time. Wherever the Eucharistic elements are present, there we believe, and only there is Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. In the sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus, time and again, offers himself to his Heavenly Father for our salvation. As Pope Pius XII explained in his masterful encyclical Mediator Dei, which I recommend for your reading and meditation, says Pope Pius XII, in every Mass, Jesus would die again for our sins. Jesus Christ in the Mass is there with the self-same flesh and blood that he had on Calvary. And the only reason he does not die at the Mass is because he is now glorified and immortal. But on the altar during Mass, it is Jesus Christ with his human will. I never tire repeating the definition of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the voluntary surrender of something precious to God. But get the first word, voluntary. Jesus in the Mass, being really present, is there with his human will. He is ready, willing to die if he could. That is why we believe the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a true sacrifice. Indeed, it is a sacrifice of Calvary, reenacted, dare we say, repeated. We go on. In the Holy Eucharist, Jesus is practicing the virtue of obedience. The moment the priest pronounces the words of consecration, Jesus, the infinite God, obediently comes down on the altar. As St. Augustine says, whether it is a John or a Peter or a Paul who consecrates, Jesus becomes present. He allows himself to be placed where the priest wills. And nowadays, dear Lord, Christ is in the Eucharist and put in places that are not, to say the least, respectful. Even in tabernacles that are out of sight. I've spoken in Catholic churches, Catholic in name, with no Blessed Sacrament reserved anywhere in the church. So many of the faithful are asking, what has happened to the Eucharist? Jesus allows himself to be received by people who are worthy. But, oh, I must say this, he also allows himself to be received by those who are unworthy to receive him. How many people have asked me, how can this be? There is no answer. Almost no one in some parishes ever goes to confession, yet it seems everyone is going to communion. Even men and women known to be living in sin and open adultery. Jesus allows himself to be received by them. Judging by some of the theatrical celebrations that are supposed to be the Mass, Christ allows himself to come into the midst of a gathering in which people are totally preoccupied not with him, but with themselves, with the noise and movement they are making, as though the Savior of the world was not right there. He allows himself to remain, oh well I know, in the tabernacle, unvisited, unappreciated, unrevered, and for many Catholics, sadly unknown. How we need, I repeat, how desperately we need this lesson of Christ's patient obedience in the Eucharist. And how we need, according to the grace given to us, to make up for the indifference and neglect that Jesus experiences in the Blessed Sacrament. As he told St. Margaret Mary, I quote, what most pains me is that I am so coldly treated by my consecrated souls, the priests and religious who above all should show me their affection. Unquote, Jesus Christ. Finally, reflect on Jesus, loving in the Eucharist. Not only then is Jesus Christ alive and on earth in our midst, teaching us by his humility and patience and obedience and self-surrender to be humble, patient, obedient, and selfless in our own lives. But he is in the Blessed Sacrament par excellence as the one who loves. Consider the following. It was out of sheer love, to no compulsion, no necessity, that God made the world and made us part of the world. And it is to say we are grateful. God did not have to make us. It was out of pure love that God became man to redeem us from sin. Love became man, which is a definition of the Incarnation. He did not have to. was out of love and nothing else that he instituted the priesthood to perpetuate the miracle of transubstantiation so that he could remain among us in his valley of tears. Again, he did not have to. It is therefore love, and love alone, that moved God to be where we are, to be available to us at our will, to be as close can be, to be human, to be a man who is also God, and as this God-man to invite us to come to him. What should all of this mean to us? It should mean that even as he is with us in mind and affections, so we should be with him. That is why he is here. His love should evoke our love. His willingness to sacrifice should prompt our desire to surrender. And let's be clear, the hardest surrender we have to make is of our own self-will. And our love, how slow we are to give up. His readiness to give himself to us entirely should move us to give ourselves to him, our peace entirely. That is why he is here. I would like to close with a long prayer of our late beloved Pope, Pope John the 23rd, a prayer which the Holy Father composed, which he for years addressed to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. The title of this prayer is Jesus, King of Nations. This is a man of faith praying. Jesus, King of nations and ages, receive the acts of adoration and praise that we, your brothers and sisters by adoption, humbly offer to you. You are the living bread come down from heaven, which gives life to the world. High priest as well as victim, you offered yourself on the cross in a bloody sacrifice of expiation to the eternal Father for the redemption of the human race. And now each day you offer yourself on our altars by the hands of your priests, so there might be restored in each heart your kingdom of truth and love, of holiness and grace, of justice, love and peace. King of glory, may your kingdom come, rule from your throne of glory in the hearts of children, so they may keep immaculate the shining purity of their baptismal innocence. Rule in the hearts of the young, so they may grow in wholesomeness and purity and docility to the voice of those who represent you in the family, the school, and the church. Rule in the heart of the home, so that parents and children may live united in the observance of your holy law. Rule in our country, so that, in the harmonious ordering of the social classes, all its citizens may regard themselves as children of the same Heavenly Father, called to work together for the common temporal good, and happy to belong to that one mystical body, of which your sacrament is both a symbol and the everlasting source. Rule, finally, King of kings and Lord of lords, over all the nations of the earth, enlighten the rulers of each nation that, inspired by your example, they may nourish thoughts of peace and not of affliction. Eucharistic Jesus, grant that all people may serve you freely in the knowledge that to serve God is to reign. May your sacrament, O Jesus, be a light to the mind, strength to the will, and attraction to the heart. May it be a support to the weak, comfort to the suffering. viaticum of salvation to the dying. For all of us, may it be a pledge of future glory. Amen. Thank you for listening and participating. Let's close with another Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, our Mother, Mother of our God, pray for us. Amen.